There's a classic introduction that people often say that has almost become a joke in a certain sense, which is that I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. The majority of times when I speak, I'm speaking to you, not myself. But tonight, the messages that I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes are something that's probably the most challenging for me in terms of my own mentality of living in Gullis that I think about, and something that I think relates, unfortunately, a lot more to me than many of you in this room. There are two times a year when I think about how time just flies by, and unfortunately, I'm stuck in the same place. I feel it probably most on Rosh Hashanah. I think about, in just a month and a half from now or so, I'll be thinking about how just a year ago, I said to myself, Hashem, I'm going to behave this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop doing that. And maybe I was good for a little bit. Maybe I was a little bit better on my game. And then unfortunately, Mar Cheshvan, Kislev. And then you kind of get stuck in the same rut. And before you know it, Rosh Hashanah is back. And I feel I kind of blew it. And I feel like I'm asking for the same thing again. And what just happened? How did time go that fast from last year till now? And the other time of year when I feel that is tonight. It's Tisha B'Av. Almost every year on Tisha B'Av, I get a sense of wanting the Beis HaMikdash, of wanting Mashiach. But certainly, unfortunately, throughout this past year, we weren't Zocha. Mashiach didn't come. And as a nation, as Klal Yisrael, we weren't Zocha, and we know, unfortunately, the idea that any generation that doesn't bring Mashiach, it's as if you caused the Chorban. And right now, I feel like that year, this year just flew by. And here we are again. Another Tisha B'Av. Gemara in Horios speaks about Sefer Ezra, Parak Gimel, where Ezra went back. It was a happy time for the Jewish people. They returned from Gullis after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and they officially had rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, unfortunately, only about, I believe it's 46,000 Jews or so came back. Many stayed back and stayed in Gullis. But still, we had a Beis HaMikdash. We know by Sheni, it lasted over 400 years. This wasn't a small thing. And tells us in Parak Gimel of Pasuk Yod Aleph, Vayenu b'halol b'chodos l'Hashem. The people at the inauguration of the second Beis HaMikdash, they sang praises, they sang halol Hashem. It's a festive time. However, just the next pasuk, one pasuk later, tells us, V'rabim me'akohanim v'alevi'im v'rashe avos. The man of the Kohanim and the Levi'im and the Zakenim, both figuratively and literally, the people who had seen Bayis Rishon. It was just 70 years earlier when it was destroyed. You could have someone who's 85 years old there who remembers being a teenager seeing the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Avos Haskeinu Asher Rosh Bayis HaRishon B'Yasado Zeh HaBayis Be'inem Bochim B'Kol Gadol. They were crying. They were weeping, not tears of joy, but tears of sadness. V'rabim b'trua b'simcha laharim kol. V'ein am akirim kol truas ha-simcha l'kol b'chi ha'am. They almost couldn't discern what was going on. So many people happy, so many people laughing and being joyful. And the Gemara in Horios tells us that the tears, the crying, the wailing overtook the celebration. Why? It's because they knew, those people, the elders, they knew that there's something here that's missing. Bayis Sheni looks beautiful. But you know what? It's not the same. It's not the same. And I think about making a very big Kal Vachomer, it's almost where we are now. That if those Jews who saw Bayis Sheni were like, this isn't it. Imagine how we should feel. Unfortunately, like I said, I'm speaking to myself, and more so than many of you in this room. I feel very much engrossed in Gullus. I feel accustomed to the way we've lived our lives, the way I've lived my life here, the comfort. And so much so, where I was thinking about how some of the decrees that were instituted by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, specifically to not forget the Beis HaMikdash, people have forgotten were for the sake of not forgetting the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah in Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph tells us, Barishona hayalulav nital b'mikdash shiva. That originally, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would shake the lulav for all 7 days of Sukkot, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it was only done for 1 day. That was it. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiske Riochnam ben Zakkai, Shehe Lulav Nital ben Medina Shiva, Zechel HaMikdash. And after the Chorban, Riochnam ben Zakkai said, we can't forget this. We can't forget the Beis HaMikdash. We can't forget what was done. We have to enact that Jews throughout the world shake the lulav for all 7 days. She Yomanev Kula Aser. And yet, I don't know about you, but I don't think for a second, this past Sukkot, did I think about Zechel HaMikdash. Did I think about the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara asks, Minelon, do you have Dina Zechel HaMikdash? Where do we get this idea that we should do things Zechel HaMikdash? And quotes a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed. And the end of the Pasuk says, Darash Ein La. There's no one seeking out Yushalayim. And the Gemara Darshins, Miklal, Darash Ein La, Miklal Debaya Drisha. Since no one's seeking out Yushalayim, and we could come to forget it, therefore we have to institute things in order that we never come to forget it. It has to always be on our forefront. We should never get too overjoyed. Of course, most famously, at a wedding, smashing the glass. Separately, not having music and wine together. There are many things that we do. But unfortunately, we got caught up so much in Gullus that we forgot even about those things. Certainly some of them. Minimally, over the next 25 hours of Tisha B'Av, we should do our best, I should do my best, to really think about what we're missing. To think about what's lacking. To think about how our existence right now is certainly not what it should be. And I'm too comfortable here. And I wish I wasn't. And I think about the people, I think about the Jews, whether it's someone who is on a madriga, or someone who has a suitcase for Mashiach. But there are Jews out there who really think about this, and who really miss it, who really want a Beis HaMikdash, who really want Mashiach. And I'm not sure I'm one of them. I'm not saying I don't want Mashiach, but I definitely don't want Mashiach as much as I should. And it's time to think about exactly what's missing. We come to davening every day. We're not offering the actual Korban Tamash El Shachar, Korban Tamash Labein Arbaim. Imagine if we were. Imagine if we saw, like I believe it's in Maseches Yoma, the 10 miracles that occurred every single day in the Beis HaMikdash that people witnessed. Just open miracles. The Jewish nation coming together. Yom Kippur, what Yom Kippur was like, what Pesach was like with the Mikdash. We're missing it all. Sure, our Seder is nice. Our Seder should be nice. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. But we're not singing Hallel on the rooftops of Yerushalayim eating a Korban Pesach. We're far from that. During Elul, there was a milkman who went to the Telzer Rav because he had to do tshuva. He went to the Rav and he confessed to him that he'd been cheating all his customers. He'd been taking the milk that he's supposed to sell, that's literally whole milk, and he's been diluting it. Now, when someone is expecting whole milk and they get skim milk, you could tell. But if someone gets skim milk every single day, they don't really know the difference. That's milk. That's what milk is. This is the single milkman. And he went to the Rav. He said, "What do? Rosh Hashanah is coming. I feel terrible for what I did. What do I do?" So tells the Rav, says, very obviously, you have to stop doing it. The first step of tshuva is stop sinning. Stop doing that, then let's talk. Okay, he was Makabel. He stopped diluting the milk. And he went and he distributed the real milk, the whole milk, as he was supposed to all along, many months or most likely for many years. And he came back to the Telzer Rav and reported the following. He says, "Rebbe, I really don't know what to do." I said, What's wrong? "All my customers are complaining that the milk doesn't taste good. They got so used to what I was giving them that that's milk to them." And Telzer Rav looked at them and he said as follows. He says, "One can become so used to sheker that it appears to be MS." And it's a very important idea, important lesson, that sometimes we're looking at sheker in the eyes so much that it turned into what we think is MS. We never saw, none of us ever saw the Beis HaMikdash. All of us have been here singing Mara Kohen. All of us had a Seder in Fairlawn or Teaneck or Muncie. And that's where we're used to. And we got so used to that that we forgot the real thing. We forgot what's supposed to be. And our job is to tap into that. Our job right now is to really think about, long and hard, of what are we missing. And when we realize that, we'll realize that that's what we want. That as good as our lives are now, and as much as we try to serve Hashem as best as we can, and we got used to this, we have to realize there's something much greater that we're really missing. And that's hopefully we should try to cry over as best we can. That's what we lament. That's we daven to Hashem. Beza Hashem, it should be the last time we're sitting on the floor. It should be the last time we're asking Hashem for this. It should be zocha for Mashiach Tekeinu Meher V'Aminu. Amen.